a desire to be entertained in the more students in the high. Our brother, Neil Moose, is very interesting, said something that each of us should consider seriously every day of our lives. It seems that my mind has more or less traveled in a little different way this morning. But I trust it will be in harmony with the Word of God. Some way or other out there, coming to this place, I have some scripture thoughts that come to my mind, and I want to talk to you a little while, please, about them, if I'm able to do that. I realize, fortunately, that if I'm able to do that, that God must bless me, read my mind, and speak to me as I undertake to talk to you. I'm not the brother that's gone before. I think that perhaps we have dwelt, maybe not too much, but leaving off some things that are very important that practice in us. I'm certainly interested in the atonement and the resurrection. Many of the fundamental principles are true. But the thought that seemingly I'm interested in is from an experimental standpoint. I do not often take that line of thoughts or simply. But a theme that have always concerned me in talking about the fruits of the Spirit are the evidences of life. The question would come to me, am I embraced in that? Is it true that God has blessed me along life's pathway with the hope of finally living with God in the glory of the world? Now sometimes it seems rather dim, or I'm doubtful, or something. But there's other times that I'm able to say, as David did, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm not able all the time to say that in the same degree of faith, assurance, and confidence that I am at other times. I want to read this not for a text, but I wanted to get a thought. Paul said, being confident of this very thing. Notice there's a particular thing under consideration. Being confident of this very thing. And he thought as to whether that was true with me. But what I'm interested in is to get the thought before you. And I trust it will be of help to me. As to what the Bible teaches along this line, I've always said for years that the grace of God in the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls, have a tendency to humble them. And I appreciate what our brother said about boldness and humbleness. But I want you to know this. Paul said, for the grace of God that mixed two texts. Better get them straight. Paul said, for I am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Now you get the thought in this, that he introduced in this, and all I want with it is the thought that the man that failed to be less than the least of all saints were a man of God, a man that had grace. Now you think about that. And I feel this way about that, that any time that you find a man, woman, boy or girl that feels to be less than the least of all saints, the evidence is that grace is abounding in their hearts. Is that true? I believe it is. At least that was the experience of the Apostle Paul when he used the expression, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? I think the grace given is the thing that brought about the experience that he had, being to be less than the least of all saints. Think about that. What I wanted is to identify the Lord's people by their experience as well as the teachings of the Bible. That seems to have been on my mind since I arrived here. Now I want to notice this. And this is found in David's writings, 102nd chapter, I believe. He said, I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I'm like a sparrow on the housetop alone. Now you look at the thoughts that they expressed in this. David was likening himself unto an owl of the desert. And so forth. So I think that these are experiences that belong to the children of God. I know there's a people in the world that are so built up within themselves that they seem to reach a point that they never doubt, or they express it that way, that they never have a doubt or a fear about anything pertaining to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They are just perfect and holy in that. Well, I know there's a state of perfection that we can reach. And any time that we do the things that God would have us to do, we perfected that. That's enough for me about that. But I want you to know this. Now we know that David likened himself unto a pelican of the wilderness and an owl of the desert and so forth, and that he seemed to get the idea that he was just one alone. And he said, I'm like a sparrow on the housetop alone. Well, I read about Jacob, I believe, that he was left alone. And yet there was a man wrestled with him all, even under the breaking of day.
I've thought about it a great deal that somehow or other that there's something in the lives of the Lord's people that separates them in an experimental way from all others. In that sense, I want you to notice that. Now, we might not always act like that and put into practice the things that we ought to do, but the experience of the Lord's people are the things that I'm interested in this morning, that I might identify. Now, I want to notice this that have come to my mind. You remember that when Jesus, just in a brief way, I will mention this, he came to John the Baptist for baptism. And he said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why comest thou to me? And Jesus said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now notice, John stated in other places that of whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Now get out of the experience of John, as he was a man called of God, a man sent from God, to preach the gospel, a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he said, of whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. So you can get the idea here that the man of God is not one that is exalted. That either if he's in right spirit, he's not. I know he might follow after the flesh and get exalted, and sometimes the Lord's people do that. But when we're in the spirit and love of our Master and the grace of God is abounding in our hearts, there's something about that that brings us, so to speak, unto our knees and confess to be poor, unworthy, undeserving sinners are here in this world. I believe that. Now, that's been my experience. Many times down through life have I begged God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I want you to get that. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And this man that used that expression went down to his house justified rather than the other. That other man might have been a child of God. I don't know about that. I think children of God can get in that exalted self-righteous state that the other man did. But I didn't want to talk about that at this particular moment, at least, but get before you some of the experiences of the Lord's people here in this world. Now I want to get David again in the 40th chapter, I believe, and the first verse, first two verses maybe. Anyway, I want you to notice that David said, I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord hearkened and heard my cry. Now notice that. Now if this is eternal salvation or regeneration, David must have had something to do with it, if I understand the language of that text. Now I know this particular point about it. He was crying unto the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayer. And I'm going to say this, that it is by one Spirit that we have access unto God the Father. Mm-hmm. So that proves that David had the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ before that time. And of course, people who have the Spirit of God are children of God. Now I know this, David here was recognized as being in a horrible pit. Now notice it. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. He planted my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. Now I know this goings is in the plural. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto God. Now notice this thought. you will go back in the 22nd chapter, and David will tell you when he received the hope in the Lord, when he's up on his mother's breast. But they thought, I want, or here is something that this man that had the hope in the Lord experienced, or here in this world. He was in a horrible pit. I wonder if that is not a pretty good picture of the condition and state that many of the children of God get in today. At least, it seems to me that I find myself in that state of condition, and I find myself crying unto the Lord, and the Lord lifts me up of that and establishes my going. I don't know how other preachers are, but sometimes I reach this point for a little while at a time, at least I think, well, I just dwelled equipped. I've never done any good and never counted any good. Just dwelled equipped. Well, when the Lord comes my way and blesses me, he establishes my going and puts a new song in my mouth, even praises unto God. Now, I don't know whether that's your experience or not, but that's been mine. Anyway, so these things in my judgment identifies the children of God are here in the world. And not only is that true, but it identifies the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. But I wanted to get some more thoughts before you along this line of experience that belong to the Lord's people. Now, the way I preach experience, I do not just talk for an hour, not prove it by the Bible, but I try to have a witness for these experiences that the Lord's people have here in the world. So I wanted to introduce some thoughts along this line that I might identify you as a child of God. And not only so, but it'll identify the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe that. Now I want to notice this. In the Corinthian letter, Paul said this: if any man be in Christ, there's something happens. If any man be in Christ, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, here's a new creature in Christ, and there's something new in his life. I certainly believe that such individuals as new creatures in Christ, they love some things that they once were not interested in, at least. And they're interested in things that at one time in their life they were not interested in. Now, I was preaching in Arkansas one time, and I was talking along this line, and a brother came to me afterwards, and he said, "This brother Wood, I never knew till this day that I was identified with the children of God and the United Church during the meeting." So I think that these things are very beneficial for the Lord's people. And I know that we have our ups and downs and our trials and difficulties and problems here in this life. And I know that by experience that we get in doubts and in fears. John the Baptist did the same thing. And it's true with the Lord's people in our day. Now I want to notice this thought was the experience of the Apostle Paul. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now, I was preaching one time, I'll tell this, at a certain place, away from home somewhere, I don't remember where it was, but I acknowledged to be a poor sinner in the stand, and a good lady came forward and said, "Brother Wood, I don't know, I don't understand you acknowledging to be a poor sinner, yet out preaching the gospel of the Son of God." I said, "Well, the Apostle Paul did that, and I'm in good company in my way of thinking. I'm chief of sinners," Paul said. Now, you think about that. Now, that was after Paul had gone to preaching. Yeah, right. And you know when he said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, I thought a great deal about that. I've gotten up many mornings and I say, think, well, I'll do better today than I did yesterday. And I just keep doing just about what I did yesterday. In other words, I'm still doing the things that I would not. So often that's true. But I'm thankful for this one point on the matter that Paul brought out in the same chapter. He said, but thanks be unto God who hath given us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Even though we do things that we would not, and seemingly that we're not always able, or to bring our bodies under subjection to the Lord of glory in all things, yet we appreciate the thought that our Lord will take care of the matter from an eternal standpoint, and we'll be able to live with Him in the glory world. I'm going to say all who have had the experiences that I have mentioned to you in this from the Bible, our children of God, and heaven is going to be your home. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that the Bible teaches us to do something, children of God, to do something. Our brother taught us the thought on perfection, and we as God's people ought to go on to perfection. And I thought about baptism being a part of the perfection, or the things that we are to do, or to perfect. And I have thought about it this way. I believe God works in our hearts both the will and the do of His good pleasure. God does that for us, but it's up to us to put that into practice. God's not going to move us around like I might move this book around. God's not going to do that. But I'll tell you what He will do. He'll chastise us if we don't do what He puts into our hearts and our minds to do. I know that to be true. I wanted to unite with the church a long time before I did. And I thought, well, I don't have an experience of grace. I love the Lord. If I know anything about it, ever since I've been in the world, as far back as I can remember, and was interested in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, but me not able to tell an experience like Paul and others, and some of our own brethren, I just thought, well, they wouldn't have me. I don't even have an experience of grace. I didn't know that love was a manifestation of the experience of grace. Amen. The Lord's people need to know that.
Right.
Love is evidence of people being born again. Everyone that loveth is born of Him and knoweth Him. That's the part I wanted to get over you. So love is evidence. That is, if you have that spiritual love for the Lord of glory, the reason of it is that the Lord of glory has shed abroad the love of God in your hearts. And your love is evidence of that. And heaven is going to be your home. Now I want to notice this particular thought. It's in harmony with what I have said, part of it at least. You remember Jesus said this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, I used to just apply this to the church kingdom altogether, but I think that if it embraces one, it'll embrace the other. In other words, if you are poor in spirit and are a fit subject for the kingdom of God here in the world by reason of regeneration and living as you should, certainly you will be an heir of heaven and immortal glory. There is no question with me but what that is true. So let us notice this fact about this. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, I want to notice the word poor. I don't know a thing about Greek. I don't know much about the English language. You know that. But I want you to get this thought. The scholars tell me that the word poor just simply meant a poor beggar. And notice that this is modified by the word spirit. Now, I don't think that it would be honorable for me to be a beggar for bread when I was able to work for it. I don't think it'd be honorable. A lot of them do, you know. But I want to get this thought before you. It says poor in spirit. How in the world could a man be poor in the spirit unless he had the spirit? He'd have to have the spirit that ought to be poor in the spirit. You know that is so. And the Bible teaches us that God sends forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Either way, I want you to get this thought. If you feel to be poor and unworthy and undeserving of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love and fellowship of the brethren, our text says that you are identified with the blessed of the Lord. And the thing that you should do as a child of God. Now I want you to notice this thought. I believe Peter used this expression. He said, you're a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now here's people that are recognized as being holy and a peculiar people, and the ones that are called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and they're told to do something. And I'm going to say, if you love the Lord of glory and God's people, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's evident that God has delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. And you as a child of God should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of that and made you a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's a wonderful thing to be a new creature in Christ. It means you're an heir of God and a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it means you've got an inheritance in the glory world that he's prepared for everyone that loveth him. You get the idea. And it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, reserved in heaven. Now, I made reservations for our people over at home in motels and such places, but they didn't get there. But here's something that's sure, that's what I wanted you to get. It's both sure and steadfast. Because the fact that the work of the Lord is a perfect work. He will finally deliver the last one of the objects of his love into the glory world. He'll say to their father, here am I and the children that thou hast given me. You know, he said in another place, the writer said, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom unto the Father. Delivered up the kingdom, not a part of the kingdom, but delivered up the kingdom. So get the idea this morning that I tried to introduce about being children of God, and what you are to do is to unite with the people that feel to be less than the least of all saints is this grace given. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Verify in our heart that we have heard the gospel. Mm-hmm. I want to share this thought with you while we selected him. I thought of all of the people that are here, especially our young people. You know, we live in a time when you can attend clinics and seminars, have all kinds of folks talking to us, telling us how to accomplish things. But you know, there's not one on the face of the earth, and you don't have enough money to buy what you heard this morning. So I keep that in mind. I've never had the privilege of hearing the gospel growing up. Never had the privilege of hearing it. May we store that away. May it go with us through life. You know, pastor was mentioned maybe false prophets. You know, it doesn't take somebody that just goes around carrying a sign saying Antichrist to be a false prophet. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll let this be a rule of measure, you want to know what a false prophet is. There is not another organization on the face of the earth. You mark that down. You may be a member of some fraternal organization and say it's not religious. There is not another organization on the face of the earth outside of the church that won't tell you you have to do something to get to heaven. You sure need one. You can work your way up and you can do this. Murray, that's outside of the true church of God. They'll proclaim that Christ paid it all for your eternal purchase and redemption, and not one thing without qualification. Now some will get mighty close and say, well, he did it all, and all you have to do is believe. Well, that wouldn't be all. That's the qualification of true minister. And I truly say this with all candor and humility. These brethren have touched my heart this morning with the gospel. I know they have me. My heart overjoyed that God would visit his people like one of old said in giving them bread. There could be a famine like that in the land of Moab, but I heard that the Lord visited his people and gave them bread. And he gave us bread this morning. And he gave us bread that starved to death for them. He's still dropping his hands for them.